Bully by Montana Mallon, St. Leonard's Bridge North. Chapter 1, Bullying. Oi, it's Fatty Leah! I turn around to see a huge crowd of people pointing at me and laughing hysterically. People have been calling me names and making fun of me for years now, and I'm sick of it. However, there isn't anything really I can do to stop this. I have no friends, so that doesn't help. As I turn, I pause, not knowing what to do. As I always do when someone bullies me, my heart thumps out of my chest. I want this to be a dream, like I do every day, but as usual, it's not. I close my eyes hard and open them again to see if they will go away, even though I know they won't. I feel useless. Is there something I can do to stop this, or is it just my imagination that thinks I can? Ever since I started reception at Wellingborough Primary School, people have been bullying me. But I didn't think anything of it. I thought it would stop. But I was wrong. It's carried on. I'm in year six now, and the bullying still hasn't stopped. Of course, I go home each day and every day and I cry. But I guess I should be used to it by now. I think I need some friends. But I've never had any before, so what if I choose the wrong ones? What's it really like to have friends? That's what I want to know. Every week, I try to start fresh, so I try to ask someone to be my friend. Unfortunately for me, whatever I ask someone, they make impressions of me by puffing up their cheeks, making themselves as fat as possible, and they start to waddle around. Then they scream, "No way! Who would want to be friends with a whale like you?" I can't run to anyone either. The teachers at school just snigger alongside the bullies, so that makes me feel smaller than ever as well. I can't even run to my own parents. My dad left me when I was in year three, 8 years old, because he was ashamed of me, and that made me ashamed of myself too. And my mum doesn't even take any time for me either. Whenever I go home, it's just me. She leaves me home alone. Sometimes I think no one cares about me, and that's probably the truest fact that I know of. At break times, I will sit on the playground, huddled alone in the corner, with tears trickling down my cheeks. I will think to myself, what's wrong with me? What can I do to sort this? But nothing will ever happen. I don't think anything will ever happen at all. Sitting alone makes me think back to all the bad memories, and the worst one was last year when I was in year five. We were doing English. Mrs. Jones, my teacher at the time, told us to go around the class, saying what we wanted to be when we're older and explain why. Eventually, it was my turn to speak. I had no idea what I wanted to be, so my words started to splutter and I started to stumble. When suddenly Isaac, the leader of the bullies, decided he would help me out, which wasn't a smart move. "Hey, Leah, I have an idea for you," I huffed. I knew what was coming. "You could be a sumo wrestler, and the reason is you're fat enough. Actually, as a matter of fact, you can start your training today as you're so fat." So I stormed out of the classroom and peered through the door to see what was happening. Then I saw a dreaded sight, the teachers laughing their heads off. I'll always be known as the fat whale in our school. How do I change this? Chapter 2. How can this stop? Another school day had dragged by once again, 3:05 p.m. "Ring, ring, ring! Class dismissed!" cried Mr. Baker. I think he was more excited to get out of the school than us students were. All 31 students rushed out of the classroom, all crammed and squashed up against the door. "You fat whale, move! You're taking up all the space!" screamed Vivian. Surprise, surprise, another bully. So I listened. I didn't want anything else to happen. I moved out of the way. I knew it wasn't me because they still couldn't get by. What's wrong with these bullies? Why do they have the urge to do it? It's so unfair. I need to think of a way to stop this, and soon. This can't carry on when I go to secondary, can it? This can't carry on forever, right? Finally, when everyone else had gone home, I could start to make my way through. As I began to walk out of the classroom door, Mr. Baker tugged my shoulder and pulled me back inside the classroom. "Leah," Mr. Baker began, "I know things are hard for you at school, aren't they?" I nod. "So why aren't you doing anything about it, Leah?" "Because no one cares about me, Mr. Baker. Not even my parents," I reply. "They must..." No, they don't. My dad left me in year three because he was ashamed of me. Ashamed of his own daughter. Suddenly, Mr. Baker felt a panic of guilt go all over his body. "Oh, I'm sorry. Why didn't you come speak to us teachers about this, Leah?" "Because they laugh at me. All the insults they give me as well," I scream, fury all over me. Without further more conversation, I fast walk out of the classroom door, leaving Mr. Baker behind. He doesn't get it, does he? I legged it out of the school building, bewildered. I have a million thoughts rushing through my head, all going at 1,000 miles per hour. I have some weird thoughts. Is someone finally trying to help me? I have some negative thoughts, annoyed at myself. I probably should have stayed. He could have been able to help me, and then all this could have stopped, right there, right then. And I also have some positive thoughts at myself. Maybe it was the correct thing to do, to run away and not listen at all. Maybe it was all a joke. He might not have helped me anyway. When I arrive home, I am not surprised that I'm left alone again. However, today is different. Maybe it's a good thing to be left alone for a while. I should probably have a sit down and a think about what Mr. Baker had just approached me about. I fling open my bedroom door and flop onto my ultra luxurious king size bed. I stare up at the blank ceiling for a while, not knowing what to do. I suddenly wake up, unsure of what's just happened. I check my alarm clock beside my bed and the time shows 5:02 p.m. I call my mum to see if she's home yet. No response. Looks like I'm on my own for a little while longer. I accidentally fall asleep, not on purpose, and I had a weird dream. I dreamt about... Chapter 3, The Dream. I was strolling through town on my own when I unintentionally bumped into this kind-looking woman. I quickly apologised and then she handed me a leaflet. I wasn't entirely sure how to react, so my mouth started to splutter out random words. I was therefore embarrassed and I went bright red in the face. Without knowing what to do, I looked down properly at the leaflet. On it read, "Street dance. You've been chosen to take part in your local street dance. Congratulations. Where? St. Leonard's Hall. When? Every Monday, 5 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. We hope to see you attend tomorrow." When I eventually started to get my words out of my mouth, I started to explain to this woman, whose name also seemed to be Leah, that I couldn't possibly do this street dance class and that I couldn't ever do it in a million years. When Leah, the woman, not me, it's very confusing, explicated when she handed me the letter, I was very grateful. She said that when she was in primary, the same had happened to her. Leah saw that I was upset and needed something to entertain me. She seemed like a gentlewoman. I got home and started thinking about this decision. It was very kind of her, but people will laugh, won't they? After a long reflect, I finally made a choice. I was going to take her advice and go. I didn't care if people would laugh at me. I'm trying it, and that's final. When I got there the next day, I was so shocked. The dance teacher was Leah, the woman who comforted me and made me feel I was worth it. I was thrilled. At first, it was awfully strange being somewhere other than my own house and school. However, it felt nice. It felt reassuring. Every single person at the dance studio introduced me and showed me around. It really was a lovely place. They all made me feel welcomed, and I really did appreciate that. It made me feel like I wasn't just a fat old loner. I was prepared to take on those evil bullies. It felt so respectable to finally be noticed. The class soon started and we learned a killer routine. And guess what? I was front row and centre, the best spot in the studio. When the session ultimately ended, I walked home proudly and strongly. I was happier than I'd ever been before. From that day, no one ever bullied me again. So that right there was my unbelievably realistic dream. Chapter 4. I sit up on my comfy bed and start to think life-changing decisions. Maybe dancing is the key. I ponder to myself, why don't I just ask my mum if she can take me to a dance class weekly? But then my mind rapidly starts to chug. She'll probably just laugh at the thought of me dancing. I stand up onto the hard flooring of my bedroom and stretch tiredly, still tired from my nap. Should I try and follow a dance routine from online? Or shall I choreograph my own routine? I need to do something that gives me practice, as practice makes perfect. Well, that's apparently what works for some people. Yeah, right. Let's start off contemporary moves. First, I try to do a pirouette. Crash, crash, ow! I wail in agony. I fell down to the rock-solid floor with a thud. Contemporary definitely isn't my style. Let's think of something else. Street. That's the type that was on the leaflet in my dream. I try searching on YouTube for some street movements and I spot the perfect, easiest one. It's called House. It sounds pretty easy. House, I mean, how hard can it be? It must be something related with houses, and I'm always in mine. Sounds pretty easy to me. Let's give it a go. I recorded myself so I can look back at it after to see what I can improve on. When I finished House, it's way harder than it sounds, by the way, I replayed the footage. I looked absolutely awful. I looked like a jelly wobbling around on a plate. I did start to snigger a little bit, and I couldn't help myself but to start roaring with laughter. It felt good to eventually laugh, and then started to think that I wanted someone to laugh with me for once, rather than always laughing at me. Then suddenly, everything starts to sink in. My lip starts to wobble. There's no possible way that I can stop this bullying. I'm a failure at everything I do. There's nothing I can do. I give up. I'll just have to let those bullies carry on with what they're doing. This will never end. I'll be hurt day by day, and soon there'll be nothing left of me. Chapter 5. What on earth is all that banging, Leah? Shrieked my mum, Angela, while storming into my bedroom without knocking. Nothing, mum, I reply unconvincingly. Nothing at all. Sounds like a bloody herd of elephants prancing around up there. And how many times have I told you not to call me mum? Stop whatever you're doing this instance. Tears begin to flow down my eyes. I know I won't ever be a dancer, as it hasn't turned out how my dream said it would. But still, no one would want me to dance with them if I sounded like a billion elephants colliding into one another. As tears flooded down my eyes like a waterfall, my mum was still intruding inside of my large bedroom. She saw me crying and asked me, "Why are you crying now, Leah, you drama queen?" I wanted and needed to come straight forward with my mum. I was dancing. "And you said I sounded like a herd of elephants," I began. "How would you feel if you put yourself in my shoes for once?" "You dancing? I don't believe it for one minute. Stop being so dramatic, Leah," my mum burst out laughing. "Would you be able to take me to a dance class every week?" "No, I don't want to be humiliated by taking someone who can't dance to a dance class." "Oh, don't be so silly, Leah." "Get out," I scream. "I don't want to stay in this house anymore. It's horrible. No one pays me any respect. Maybe it's better if I wasn't on this world." "Eureka, that's it. I should run away. Run away from home. Run away from school. Run away from everything." The people say you can't run away from your problems, but at least I have some time alone. Then let's see what they do. Chapter 6. Today is the day that I make a run for it. I have a plan all figured out, so I don't have to worry about a single thing. Well, I hope so anyway. This was my plan. Monday the 8th of April, the day to run away. I will attend school, and then instead of going straight home, I will go to a new place. It may be risky, but I can handle anything. In my school bag, I will take loads and loads of food, loads of water, as much money as I can get my hands on, blankets, pillows, pyjamas, my phone, and loads of more comfortable things and stuff to keep me entertained for hours and hours, days and days, weeks and weeks. Let's do this. You can do it, Leah. I don't think I have the guts to do this, in all honesty, but that doesn't matter. I have to. I must. I've packed my bag and I'm roaring with anxiousness, but I'm also really empathised to do this. It's not like I'm running away forever, but at least I get a tiny break. My mind is telling me, "Leah, you have to stay at home. Your mum will be worried sick, even though she doesn't act like it. She'll be off her head worrying about you." However, my guts are telling me, "You can do this. It's not like your mum will notice. You've gone. You have got the courage and you'll be fine." But my heart is telling me and asking me, "What if something serious happens to you? It's dark and lonely on those streets. You don't know who could be out to get you. You could get kidnapped, murdered even. Don't go. Make the right decision. You're going to regret this decision, Leah. You can stay at home, warm and cosy, or you could be out on those dangerous roads. It's your choice." I'm listening to my guts. I have to go. My mum will be too busy and careless to even notice. I'm making a run for it. Today, that's final. I'm not changing my mind. Chapter 7. I only have 1 hour and 13 minutes until it's time to strike. Currently, the time has just gone 1:52 p.m. I am dismissed from school at 3:05 p.m. Minute by minute, second by second, I'm starting to get extremely nervous. This must be the scariest moment of my life. Buzz, 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 went the school bell at the end of the day. I have a lot of confidence, but I have a lot of nerves. I hope that I can break away through those nerves and be really good at running away. I can't physically run, but I suppose I can do a fast walk. I head out of the school gates and pause for a moment or two. Do I go left or right? Left or right? Left or right? I murmur to myself. Let's go left. That's the way into town and the way opposite to my house, so that's a pro. My mum's always told me and warned me never to go into town on my own, as you don't know who's lurking around there. Well, tough luck to her, because guess where I'm heading? Town. Wait, what happens if I accidentally bump into her? I'll just have to stay well hidden in crowds of people. I make it into town, successfully, without getting mugged or kidnapped. I've never been into town before, not even with my mum. I really didn't lie to you when I said I've only been to school on my home. Oh no, my mum is right in front of me! Shit! Whoops, sorry readers. Quick, Leah, think fast. Rapidly run into Superdrug, which is right next to you. Hurry, before she sees you. I cannonball into Superdrug and find a hiding place. In the distance, I see my mum's head poking through the doors. Think! Oh, she's coming into Superdrug. Dodge her fast. If she sees you out, you're dead, Leah. Phew, I sigh in relief as I jumped inside a cardboard box. I'll just stay in here for the night. At the moment, the time is 5:08. I'm proper exhausted. I'm yawning so much. How am I so tired already? A few hours later, I lay out all of my blankets and pillows into this cardboard box and, not going to lie, it's ultra cosy. I've been sitting on my phone and I've had a few missed calls off my mum. Oh well. I'm going to sleep. I'll look for more locations tomorrow. Chapter 8. Angela's, Leah's mum's, point of view. I get home to realise that my daughter is not here. I have no clue where she is, but she can't still be at school because it's 5:56 at the moment. I know somehow that I'm to blame. For once, I can say I really don't know what to do. I'm starting to worry. I bet she ran away because I didn't let her do the dancing sessions. I should have been kinder to her. Then she wouldn't have run away. It's been 3 hours and Leah still hasn't turned up. I think I should call 999, the emergency services. 999, how can I help? Asked the person on the other end of the call. Hello, my daughter isn't home and I think she might have run away, I replied. What's your address? We'll send someone out to talk to you and see what's happened. 24 Meal Weadow Drive. OK, they're en route now. Thank you. They'll be with you shortly, so just stay calm. I will try. Thank you. Bye. Bye. The police attended soon after and they got notes from Angela. They reassured her that everything was going to be fine, but she was shaking and really worried. After a little chat, the police went out on an investigation, but they couldn't find anyone out on the streets. They said that they would wait until the sun rose and they would look once more. Chapter 9. Back to Leah. Bang, bang, thud, thud. I was awoken by the sound of the workers at Superdrug reopening the store. Well, at least I think that's what it was. I had a truly good and restful sleep. However, I have an issue. I really badly need the toilet. And how am I supposed to get out? This is going to be one hell of a situation. It feels awfully strange not waking up in my bed compared to this cardboard box anyway. I wonder what my mum is thinking right now. She's probably happy that I've gone. Undoubtedly, she might not even have realised if I were being realistic. Cue the Mission Impossible theme tune, I giggle to myself, thinking of a quest on how to get out of this stuffy, however relaxing, box. I just looked on the Superdrug's website and their opening time is 7 a.m. So therefore, if I wait until around 8:30-ish and then make my way out, with all of the things packed neatly and carefully inside of my heavy bag... 8:30 a.m. Time to strike. I anxiously and delicately fold up my things into neat piles and place them in my bag. Everything is cleared and now I have to get out of this box, but without anyone suspecting any suspiciousness. I slowly clamber out of the box into one of the aisles. It was way easier than I thought. Now let's head out onto the streets and start spending this cash wisely on good supplies. The first place I want to go is Tesco. I think I might get some food and fruit so I don't fill myself up on junk food. Suddenly, as I cross the calm road, I see loads of police cars surrounding the town. I'm puzzled. What's going on? Oh, Bugger, they're going to arrest me because I slept in Superdrug. Quick, where do I hide? I start to get fearful. I do another runner into Tesco and hope that if I can dodge them and hide from them, they won't be able to arrest me. I'm only 11 years old. I don't want to be put in jail for the rest of my life. A few seconds after I entered the shop floor, I heard loads of police coming my way. I then hear a voice similar to whose voice belongs to my mum. My head starts to get dizzy and I started to walk funnily and my head spinning around and around when suddenly, thud, I fell to the ground. I fainted in shock. Chapter 10. My eyes start to flicker and they soon open. They open to the sight of my mum towering over me, tears drooling down her eyes. I think I'm hallucinating. Cautiously, I look around to see where I am. I'm home. Back to the warmth. The last thing I remember doing was hiding in Tesco from the police. From there, it's all a blur. I gasp. What's the matter, honey? My mum immediately asked. Oh, the police. They chased after me. I'm going to get arrested. Hide me! I scream, panicking. No, love, my mum begins, laughing a bit. They were chasing you to bring you back home, back to me. I've been worried sick about you. So I'm not being arrested. No, sweetheart. Why on earth would you be arrested? Well, because I ran away and slept in a cardboard box in Superdrug for the night. Sorry. Well, the main thing is that you're safe, safe back with your mummy. What's happened to you? I thought you didn't care about me. I thought you didn't want me to call you mum. I thought you were ashamed to call me your daughter. I was mind blown. My mum is acting like a completely different person. Maybe she did care after all. Oh, darling, I'm so sorry. I haven't acted like a mum to you. I should have been kinder to you from the start. I will be, starting today. I love you, Leah. It's okay, mum. I love you too. There was a short silence in the room whilst me and my mum cuddled each other and whilst I let everything process in. I'm so glad we just talked things over. She really, really did care about me after all. Do you still want to attend that dance class which you talked about? My mum broke the silence. Won't hurt to try it, if you're offering to take me, I winked. When does it start? I need to find one first. I thought you have. Nope. We best get looking then. Chapter 11. Later that day, me and my mum, we sat together on our hefty grey sofa looking for a dance studio where I can participate in. I was extremely motivated to go in just a few days if we find one. Second by second, minute by minute, hour by hour, in the end, after scrolling and scrolling, we found the perfect one to contribute in. It's in one of the best studios in the world. I need to start training and preparing right away. Oh, thank you so much, Mum, I pleaded and thanked her. No worries, my darling. I should have let you do this earlier, she replied with a broad grin. Well, I'm off to practice now. I'll show you how I get on afterwards. Okay, sweetheart, I'm nipping to the shops now. Would you like anything? A bottle of water and some strawberries, please. Coming right up. I've changed my diet. Whenever I do something challenging, I eat my favourite fruit, strawberries. In all fairness, I think that strawberries are better than junk food. I prance up all of the stairs into my master bedroom. I grab my Lenovo laptop and get onto YouTube. To become a better dancer, you should practice online, like, for example, following a dance routine. So thumbs up, because that's what I'm doing. After hours and hours of grueling work, I've managed to chief my routine, and I'm actually reasonably gratified with it. I showed my mum, and she was drinking a cup of tea at the time. It was fairly hilarious because I showed it to her with full power, and she spat out the cup of tea because she was amazed. Her mouth dropped to her jaw, and she was a statue for ages. When I finished showing her, I waved my hand in front of her face, saying, "Hello? Is anyone in?" And all of a sudden, my mum burst out with a massive round of applause and she shot up like a rocket. Then she was dancing around and shouting and screaming, "My daughter can dance! She can dance!" She grabbed me by the arms and started twirling around with me, congratulating me. I was filled with pride. Chapter 12. A few days later, my mum and I sprang and leaped into the leather-seated Audi car. I think my mum may have been a bit too enthusiastic about this. I was thriving with excitement and I couldn't wait to get there. I hope the people are nice and introduce me like they did in my dream. I'm not sure, but all I can do is hope for the best. 27 minutes later, we've just pulled up outside the gates of Pineapple. Pineapple! This place is huge. I can't wait to get inside. I can feel the groove in my body already. Let's dance. We entered the building with a beam and oh my goodness, it was deluxe. We entered the dance room and it was like my dream. I never ever have assumed that I could be here. Another thing that was nice about this was that there were plenty of girls and also plenty of boys getting along. I'm so excited to make a career out of this. I smirked at everyone there and they came rushing towards me, glad to see me. They appreciatively showed me a tour around the place and told me what they do and how they learn. When they'd finished touring and welcoming me, the lesson started. The routine was way more extreme than I thought it would be. But the more I attend the class, the better I will become. Today has been one of the best days of my life. I'm so obliged to be able to be with these amazing people and have them in my life. Now let's see what those bullies do. Chapter 13. Bleep, bleep. The sound of my alarm clock wakes me. It was bright and early Monday morning, and for the first time in forever, I wasn't scared to show up at school. I was brave and unfearful. I hurried and got ready for the day. I was indeed rather excited. 1 hour and 30 minutes later, just as I was about to leave the house, my mum began speaking to me. Have a good day at school, darling. After school, I have some news to break to you, but I can't get you all worked up about it. That was going to bug me all day, I could tell. I wonder what it is, good news or bad news? Well, either way, it probably won't affect much in my life, right? Well, I hope not anyways. On my walk to school, I'm really eager to be able to speak to more people. I hope I can make some friends. When I arrived at school, nothing's changed. No one's speaking to me still. Oh, wait, I know why. Not long after, we come to our classroom. For the first time in forever, I'm going to start a conversation with a teacher. To you, that might sound really weird, but I don't speak to anyone at school, so it's quite an achievement. I head over to Mr. Baker, my teacher, and he looks relatively shocked to see me. Mr. Baker, I begin. Yes, Leah, Mr. Baker replied, almost speechless. Can I speak to you outside, please? Not literally out in the cold, you know, out of the classroom. He giggled in a nice way. Of course, Leah. We make our way into the corridor and sit down on a random table and chair which had been left there for some odd reason. I was wondering. Chapter 14. Mr. Baker and I walked towards our classroom and I asked him something and he agreed to it. Not going to lie, I was quite panicky and uneasy at the thought of this. I wonder what people will do. When we were back in the classroom, Mr. Baker started explaining to the whole class that everyone is to watch a video that he'll put on the board. Let's see how they react. Boom, 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 boom. This was the beat of the music which everyone seemed to enjoy. Have you guessed what it was? It was my dance video from Pineapple. Not one single person in the classroom noticed that I was in the video dancing. Some people were even expressing, oh my, every single person here is incredible. I wish I could dance that well. After everyone was jamming along to the music, it eventually stopped. Did anyone notice anything or anyone familiar in this video? Asked Mr. Baker, surprised at the sight of me dancing too. No response. That must mean a no then, right? Yes, replied most of the children. Leah is in this video. Dancing. What? No way. Yes, she is. Oh my God. People were crowding around me, asking how I dance like that. They were all apologising to me for all the things that they have said and done. It didn't feel realistic. I thought it was a full-on dream. I kept pinching my skin and closing my eyes. Every other day, I always wanted to be a dream. Now it's different. I don't want it to be a dream anymore. I am stunned. I have friends. I play with people at break times. Life is no longer a misery. Chapter 15. The school day has been absolutely incredible. People have been super kind to me. I'm walking home now with a jolly wide smile. I can't believe it. Dancing was the key. My dream actually indicated it to me. I can't wait to get home and tell my mum the good news. She'll be so proud of me. I'm proud of myself too. A few moments later, I've just come indoors at my house. Ah, Leah, are you ready for the big surprise? Exclaimed my mum. Oh yeah, I completely forgot all about that. Spill the tea, mum, I reply, passionate as well. You are going to be a big sister. Yeah? How? Who's the dad? Your dad. He's moving back in with us. I am speechless. This is amazing. Well, the dad part anyway.